as it did in the times of Christ. Don't confuse the spiritual hope of Isaiah's report with material hope. Our God does bless us materially. He does give us physical things. He does give us things that we need in our everyday walk of life. But there has always been a tendency of man, ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, to seek out our God for the material, physical blessings that we can get out of Him. I've known people who used to come to this church who, when they lost a child, blamed God because God was supposed to keep that child alive. I've seen people who blamed God for the death of their parents, for all sorts of things. Our God does give us material blessings, but people get confused as to what God's purpose is for them from the time that they break their mother's womb. So don't confuse the spiritual hope of Isaiah's report with material hope. Now, I've read this each time I've started with Isaiah. Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who are these people that believe Isaiah's report? And to whom is Christ, the strong right hand of Almighty God, the strong right arm of God, revealed? Who sees Him in the way that God meant for Him to be seen? Many people today that claim to be coming and worshiping God in spirit and in truth are worshiping Him in materialism and a truth that is tarnished. The promise has always been basically and primarily a spiritual promise, and if you can't be settled on the spiritual promise, you've missed the whole point of God's purpose for your life. Now, going back to the previous chapter, toward the tail end of it, in Isaiah, we just finished with Isaiah 53:1. Let's look back at Isaiah 52:10. The Lord hath made bare. In other words, you can see the muscle. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see revealed the salvation of our God. Well, God has made bare His holy arm in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made Him visible in the eyes of all nations, and the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God in the person of Jesus Christ. If you're interested in being saved spiritually from eternal separation from God, then I say this reverently, Jesus is your man. If you're interested in receiving spiritual blessings from God and spiritual growth, then I say this reverently, Jesus is your man. If you're interested in the future spiritual promises of God in heaven and what God has waiting for you in spiritual blessings that are beyond your wildest imagination, then I say this reverently, then Jesus is your man. That's what this is all about. But today, I find that in many different instances, preachers who, through no fault of their own, have found that people are more interested in the carnal things that God can give them than they are in the spiritual blessings, which is what this is all about. And so Isaiah's report and the things that are revealed in truth from God's Word, the spiritual aspect is pushed to one side, and the material things that God can do for you are pushed to the forefront. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Luke 2:25-32. We're talking about seeing the salvation of God. We're talking about having the salvation of God manifested to us. Luke 2:25-32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now this man was a spiritual man. How do I know? And the same man was just, justified, and devout. He was a follower of the teachings of God. How do I know he was a spiritual man? Well, that pretty well defines it, but notice what it says next. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. This old man wasn't waiting for someone to show up to give him wonderful material blessings, a new home, a new car, a Cadillac, and whatever. Of course, they didn't have those things in that day. He was a man who was waiting for the consolation, the deliverance of Israel spiritually by God. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, if you want spiritual things from God as His child, He'll let you have them. But most of our prayer requests are not for spiritual things. They are for material things. And if God doesn't come through with what we ask for materially, we almost shun him to one side and say, why has God let me down? God never promised me I could keep my wife forever. God never promised her that she could keep me forever. God never promised me that our children wouldn't die. God never promised me that I wouldn't have the blessings. God's promises are not material. God will provide you with everything you need as he accomplishes his will in your life for the spiritual blessings he means to pass out, and he'll give you all you need materially. But he is not a God who blesses his children with material things just because he loves them. And that's commonly taught. The quickest way to spoil a child is to give it everything it wants. The best medicine for a child is to let the child grow and understand the ways of the world in which it's raised so it can function in that material realm. The best way to raise a child spiritually is to allow it to suffer spiritually so that it can grow and become ingrained with the only solution to the problem of spiritual things in a life, and that is the power of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So here was a man who had a spiritual hope, and that hope was the consolation of Israel. And it was revealed, and to who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, I'd say it was revealed to this man, Simeon. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, he had a spiritual hope, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Why did he want to stay alive? Well, you may say, he loved it down here. He wanted to see his grandchildren grow up and his great-grandchildren. And who wants to leave this life? You see, Paul was caught in a strait at one time. He really felt it would be far better to go to be with the Lord, but at the same time, he felt like God needed him, wanted him here. And so he would rather do what God wanted than exercise his choice to go on to heaven. But this man didn't want his days to be prolonged like Hezekiah. And Hezekiah said, after he was told all the terrible things that were going to happen to Israel because of his choice to stay on another 25 or 15 years or whatever it was, Hezekiah just wanted to keep on living. This man wanted to live until he had seen the Lord's Christ. It was a spiritual desire he had. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. This man was interested in spiritual things. If you're interested in spiritual things, this church will do everything it can to teach you spiritual things, to let you practice spiritual things, and to be a part of a spiritual, local, visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers. If you're not interested in spiritual things, sooner or later, you're going to quit coming to church because something's going to happen and God isn't going to perform just like you want, or you're not going to see the benefit of coming to church. The benefit of coming to church is spiritual. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. He held Christ, the child, up in his arms. He'd been waiting a long time to see that babe and said, now, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. See, he wasn't afraid of death. But he wanted to see the spiritual manifestation of the living presence of God in a human being we call the man Christ Jesus. This was a spiritual man. He was interested in the spiritual promises that God had made, and he wanted to see God manifested in flesh. And once he had seen what he requested, a spiritual request, he didn't ask God, Lord, things are bad. Lord, please make sure that I have enough food to last through the day. He didn't go around asking for material things. God takes care of that. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Sure, we're supposed to ask for physical things, material things, but only in the sense that they are necessary for us to continue to be used of God in a spiritual way. And when we start wanting more and more and more, it separates us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which many, having coveted after, have erred from the faith. It's plain. Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So he was a man who was interested in spiritual things. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He is revealed to spiritual people who are interested in spiritual things, who want to do a spiritual work. And if you're not interested in that, pray tell me, what are you here for this morning? Why are you sitting here on these pews this morning if you're not interested in God spiritually using your life? Just why are you in here? The truth is, God saves us so that He can work through us spiritually, and He provides with our physical and material needs so that we can function to do His spiritual work. This man was ready to die. Most people today are scared to death of death. It's because they're weak spiritually, and because they feed on things that they want from God that are material and physical. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He said, here's why I'm ready to go. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He was revealed to this spiritual man. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now you've seen him. You've seen him portrayed in this book. And the one reason the Lord didn't want you to get a good description in here, why didn't it come out and say, and as Jesus walked among the people, his stature was great, for he was half a head above the other people. And as his broad shoulders were manifested themselves, and as his muscular Apollo-like frame walked among the people, and as the eloquence and beauty of his voice spoke out, and as women looked upon him and saw the beauty. It doesn't say that. God didn't tell you anything about him, except he probably looked pretty common. But what was abnormal about the Lord, or not abnormal, but spiritual, he was God incarnate in human flesh. And you've seen his life right here. You don't have to know what he looked like. What a person looks like doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's what they are. Now you know what God is and what God is like, because you have seen his Son, and God has spoken to us about his Son in this book. But what do most people want from God? Do they want, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? No. They want God to keep them alive physically. They want God to allow them to live to a ripe old age and both of them die on the same day. They want God to leave their children intact. They don't want to lose a child. They don't want to lose a grandchild. Well, neither do I. But that's not what the promise of God is about. Everybody dies, and people go on. And the important thing in every person's life is, are you meeting the plan that God had for your life? And is God being allowed to work in you spiritually? Are you resisting the Spirit of God and are more interested in what you can get out of this life materially and physically than you are in what God desires to use you for spiritually? He was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He was revealed. He was a light. And that light is still visible through his word. The Bible paints word pictures. It pictures to you the character and personality of Jesus Christ through his teachings, through his conduct, through his actions. So the light in the person of Christ that you can see and taste and touch and feel and was manifested to the first New Testament church as they handled him and discoursed with him. You can't have that, but you can know all there you need to know about him from his living word. And Jesus said unto them, John 12:35-36, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. This was a shocking statement, because you see, the whole nation, including the members of the first New Testament church, had the idea that the Messiah, the holy arm of God that was to come, was to be a messenger from God who would free Israel from Roman bondage, who would restore their nation to power, who would live forever as a man in flesh and rule over Israel and bring back a prosperity that was greater than Solomon's. And if you'll pardon the allusion to modern day terminology, there would be a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot, and it would go on forever and ever and ever. They were looking for a material, physical Messiah from God who would bring the nation back to restoration and give them every physical and material blessing that any carnal mind could possibly think of. And they weren't looking for a Messiah that was just going to be there a little while. Yet a little while is the light with you. He said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. He told them, I'm not going to be here much longer. That didn't fit in with the Jewish concept of the Messiah. Now, you can look back at those people and you can say, well, how ridiculous. They should have recognized the Messiah. And yet, some of you sitting here may be doing exactly the same thing that they're doing, and I may be doing the same thing. We're looking for a God who will give us just exactly what we need here. In other words, don't let mom die. Don't let our children die. Don't let this happen. Don't let that happen. And you're looking for that kind of a God. And you expect that kind of a God to do those kind of things. And when he doesn't perform according to what you want, then there's something wrong with him. No, there's nothing wrong with him. The problem is, we attribute God with doing certain things that God never said he'd do. God is a spirit. And if we want spiritual blessings from God, the material blessings will jolly well take care of themselves. John 12, 36, continue. While you have the light, believe in the light. While you have the light, believe in the light. He knew he wasn't going to be there very long, and he was telling them, as the light of God, he wouldn't be there very long, physically in the flesh, that you may be the children of light. You ought to be a lot more interested in whether you're a child of light than whether your parents are going to die, or whether your child's going to die, or whether you're going to lose your business, or whether things are going to go downhill prosperity-wise. You ought to be a lot more concerned about what kind of a testimony your demeanor and your personality and your life shines out spiritually to a lost and dying world than you are in your own personal problems. We expect God to deliver us from all our own personal problems, and if he doesn't do that, then somehow or other God must have failed, because it couldn't possibly be our fault. I don't expect anything from God except what he promised. He told me if I would come to him, he would save my soul. I came to his son, Jesus Christ, and he saved it. He told me and promised me in his word that if I would assume the responsibility of a child of God and try to please him, he would bless me. And he has. He promised me if I would seek first the kingdom of God, then all the material things would take care of themselves. And they have. That's all I count on from God. And whatever good happens to me, I say thank you, God, and I praise your name. And whatever bad happens to me, I consider it to be my own fault, or perhaps something that is to try me and to test me, to mold me and shape me into what I ought to be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a spiritual war that we are involved in. And our God is a spiritual God. And when we get our hearts and our minds focused on what God wants out of our lives, and take it off what we want God to do in our lives, then our lives will be a whole lot more enjoyable and God will be a lot better pleased with us. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Much people. What were those people looking for? They weren't looking for a temporary visage of God. They were looking for a material Messiah to live forever in the flesh, to sit on David's throne, to bring back the good old days, the prosperity of Israel, where there would be no poor people. Israel would rule and dominate the whole world. And they were looking forward to that kind of a Messiah. Much people were there. These are the same people, most of them, who in a few days are to crucify him. Why? Because he wasn't the kind of a Messiah they wanted. If he had come off the cross, given them all their material desires, let them live forever in bodies of flesh, let Israel rule and reign and give them everything their carnal nature wanted forever, they would have loved him to death. That's what they thought was going to happen. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast of Passover, when they heard that Jesus was come to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They thought he was their Messiah, and he was. But he wasn't the kind of Messiah they wanted. Jesus to many people today has been molded and shaped into what we want him to be rather than what he was, what he is, and what he always shall be, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's coat." Here was their Messiah. This is the triumphant entry. They received him as Messiah because they thought he was this preconceived type of Messiah that they wanted. But they rejected the spiritual aspect when he didn't fulfill the material aspect. He didn't rise up, overthrow the Roman government, and satisfy all of their carnal wants. We've got people sitting on our church pews in missionary Baptist churches across this country that if they get a preacher in there that tickles their fancy and tells them what they want to hear and lets them keep their carnal ways and never preaches against the activities that they're conducting which are in violation of God's word, they let him stay as long as he wants. But if he starts preaching all the counsel of God and trying to get people to see the need of living a godlike life before a general public because this is a spiritual way of letting a lost and dying world see Christ, he doesn't last very long. People that are strong in the faith are more interested in their spiritual conduct than they are in keeping the material and physical things that seem to be the purpose of their whole life. Now, the reason that I started with 35 and 36 is because I wanted to go back above this in 12:15 and show you what these people were expecting. Now in verses 32 and 34, which of course is just before 35 and 36, let's take a little further look at these people. "And I," Jesus told them, he said something spiritual to them. Every time he got a large group of people together and said something spiritual, they rejected him or ran away. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." They knew what that meant, to a point, but they couldn't accept it. What does he mean? This, he said, signifying what death he should die. They couldn't believe that God's promised Messiah would die for them. Why? They didn't need someone to die for their sins. They needed somebody to come and give them what they wanted. Listen, my Savior died for me, and he died for my sins, and if he never did anything else but that, that is a debt that I could never repay, and God forbid, God doesn't want repayment. God wants submission to his life. If that's all that God ever did for me, it would be the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me for all eternity. But God has a lot more spiritual blessings. If you want the spiritual blessings of God, they're yours. But you've got to quit confusing material blessings with spiritual blessings. The people answered him. Notice how shocked they were. Oh, these were the same people that were laying down the branches. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever." They said, once Messiah comes, he's going to get on the throne of David and he's going to live there as a man forever. They thought they were too after a resurrection. "And how sayest thou?" Well, of course, the Sadducees didn't. "And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?" "Who is this Son of Man?" They said, "What are you talking about? Oh, you're going to be here a little while?" No, no, no. You see, here's the point. They were looking for a deliverer, a Messiah, a Savior, a Christ, who would fit what they wanted from God. But spiritual people look for what God wants to give them because that's what they want, because they know that's what's right. And they understand that his thoughts are not their thoughts and his ways are not their ways. And they want the things of God. So I ask you this morning, as a member of this church, do you want the spiritual blessings of God? Are you willing to serve God based on the spirituality of the promises of God? Or has God got to do what you expect him to do, or he's not really godlike? Spiritual things are hard to accept. Carnal man can't accept them. And many times in many churches, preachers unbeknownstly, and I have done it, and will do it again, I'm sure, cater more to the carnal man to pacify him, or the carnal woman, to keep out of trouble, rather than trying to tell the person how unspiritual they are with that attitude. They just keep on catering to the carnal nature because they don't want the carnal nature to get on over them like a duck on a June bug. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him. This was the strong right arm of God. They wanted a material Savior. They were perfectly happy when he was doing miracles, or when he fed them. Well, what's the difference? You have a child and you ask God about it, and it doesn't seem fair to you that God take that child, and the child dies, and you say, why'd God do that to me? Or you have a husband that you love, and you say, well, you know, I don't deserve this. He is not a material God. You lay your petitions before him and have enough faith not only to believe he is able to do all things, but he has enough sense to do what is right. God can't do anything wrong. I believe that. God is incapable of sin or of doing anything wrong. So when you ask God for something, if you don't get it, just give God credit for having enough sense to realize that your request was not what was needed for your life. And I think that many times, if God doesn't do what we want, we can't understand how God could possibly love us. Though he had done so many miracles before them, that was the strong right hand of God. It was Christ. He revealed himself to them, yet they believed not on him. On him. Why? A spiritual belief. This is all spiritual. Do you want, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you want those things? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. They're in his book. You want them? Or do you want to have a successful business? Do you want to have your grandkids live forever? Do you want to have a great family rapport? Your business is going to pass away. Your grandchildren and your children are either going to die or you're going to die. Your wife's going to die, you're going to die. And then, whose will all these things be? People squander their life down here because they're so cotton-thick and tied to material and physical things that they never really put their heart in a spiritual belief on the promises of God in Christ. If this man could raise the dead, and if this man could turn water into wine, then this man can keep his promise of spiritual rewards in heaven, and I speak for myself. I'll take mine there. I'll take them there, because those last forever, and everything down here is temporary. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. When he came doing these miracles, if they had said to him, Lord, teach us the things of God. Lord, teach us the things of God. Lord, let us understand the things of God. And don't tell me God's Spirit doesn't want them to do that. And don't tell me he didn't try to get them to do it. But they weren't interested in spiritual things. And in many of our churches today, they're not interested in spiritual things either. And that's what this is all about. Let's take a look at the result of these miracles. After these things, Jesus went over into the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. They weren't following him for spiritual blessings. They wanted to see the miracles, and they wanted to have their sick people healed. It was a sideshow to them. They either wanted to have their kids healed, their wives healed, their husbands healed, or they wanted to go there and see a sideshow. And a great multitude followed him. One thing happens in this church. When people come here, if they want the Word of God, which is the living Word of God, if that's what they want and they're after spiritual blessings, I guarantee you they're going to receive the Word of God, and they're going to be taught to distinguish between a material hope and a spiritual hope. And if they aren't interested in a spiritual hope, they won't last long here. Because the first time something comes up in their life that God can't deliver them from that material or physical problem, then they're going to quit coming to church, because what kind of a God is that that doesn't deliver them from what they think they should be delivered from? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You can't get any more basic to describe the desires of carnal man than through his belly. And they were looking for a Messiah who would provide them with food, with the needs of the carnal man. Jesus was not sent to minister to the needs of carnal man. He was sent to minister to the needs of a dead, lost spirit that every man except himself possessed. And when that spirit came to him seeking salvation, the spirit found it. The soul found it. And then Christ wanted to teach them about spiritual things. Why? Because spiritual things are eternal. And any father that was not interested in the long haul for his children and what would happen in eternity and let themselves short for what they could grasp here is not much of a father nor of a God. And there is only one God, and that God, my Heavenly Father, is much more interested in your spiritual future than he is in your present material, physical future. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Don't confuse the spiritual hope of Isaiah's report with material hope. What do you want from God? You want to live here forever? You've already got eternal life. What on earth do you want to live here forever for? If you say within your own heart, I want to stay here because I want to be used of God, no problem. That's a spiritual desire. That means you want to be used of God. But most of the time, you just want to grub out a few more hours where that carnal man can suck in a little more air. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. You can't take your kids out of here. You can't take your wife out of here. You can't take your husband out of here. You can't take your business out of here. You can't take your house out of here. You can't take your car out of here. You can't take your retirement money out of here. Thank God for everything you have, material and physical. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God for it, because were it not for God, you could not have had it, because you would have never come into existence, and we owe God everything. But God forbid that a man should go through life as his child and never come to realize that the things that he carries on into the life that follows this life in all eternity, those things endure. They don't go away. Everything else down here that's material does, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Notice at Jesus' time, and how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Well, here he is. He wasn't the one they were looking for. And quite frankly, most of the world population today that classify themselves as believers, they're looking for a different Son of Man than the one I know, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. I want spiritual things from God. I want to grow spiritually. I want to understand more about Christ. I want to know what God's will is for my life, and I'm going to ask God for power to give me the ability to yield to his spirit. I don't want to be concerned about all the material, physical problems that go on around me. I'll pray for them. I'll do what I can to alleviate them. But I want to know what spiritual food is, and I want to understand God's word, and I want to practice it. I want to try to practice it, and I want to share it with others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our churches have long since passed the point, in many cases, of being spiritual. They've turned into social nightclubs and entertainment centers with every possible enticement to keep people faithful in church by the very carnal things that Jesus condemned. If you can't keep a person in a church except through the use of carnal manipulation, then, my friend, you don't have much to start with. And instead of taking Christ into the world, we've taken the world into the church. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They wanted to do what Jesus was doing. They wanted to be able to perform these miracles. Look at these freaks on television. That's what people want. They want to be able to do the things that Jesus did and provide themselves with material welfare. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." When you believe on the one that God hath sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want his message to go forth to a lost and dying world, and you want to emulate the person of Christ as his child, then, my friend, that's the work of God. And it is the strength of your belief on him who he has sent that God meant to go forth into a lost and dying world. We don't need all these cotton-picking programs that we've got. We just need for God's individual church members to go out there and let people see and hear about Christ. Not the superficial type of witnessing that we've practiced for so long, but a real legitimate witness where they see Christ in you and you speak the truths of Christ to them without being ashamed or embarrassed of what you're saying. Luke 12:28-32. If then God so clothe the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. We may laugh at the Israelites. We may say, well, they just didn't understand their Messiah. I sometimes wonder if we understand our Messiah, our God, our Savior. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God's going to take care of what I eat, what I drink, what I wear. God's going to provide for what I need. The material things will take care of themselves if God's children will do this. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things, food, clothing, shelter, prosperity, shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's made up of spiritual things. If you're not interested in spiritual things, why do you even bother to come to church? Do you come to church because you're afraid that God might punish you if you don't? That's your carnal man. He doesn't believe in God, but he doesn't want to take a chance. Or do you come to church because you come seeking a spiritual blessing from God and because God's Spirit can touch your heart and make you see that your life needs to count for more than it does? There's not a one of you sitting here that God didn't have a plan for your life. But you see, after God saves your soul, he leaves it in your hands whether or not you want to be interested in the spiritual aspect of the things that God has. No one can help you in that area except yourself. You need to be saved? I've got some good news for you. You can't save yourself. This church can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. That's a free, unmerited gift. You want Jesus? Then you come believing that he is able to save. And when you come believing, you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is between you and his Spirit. Just what kind of a God are you looking for? And what kind of a Savior are you seeking? Is it one that you can serve, or one that you want to serve you? All those things that mean so much to you down here, your wife, your children, your car, your house, your finances, your retirement, all those things that mean all those things to you. Are you seeking Christ to preserve those things for you here? Or are you seeking to find the way that God means for you to walk and to live and to serve him spiritually? You want to serve Christ? Are you looking for a Christ to serve you? This is not a carnal game. This is a spiritual truth. And we need to make our lives count for something by submitting ourselves to the Spirit of Christ. What number, Johnny?
17. Page 17.
Please stand.